A few months ago, I was getting our 4-year-old ready for bed and was moving her through her bedtime routine. And she said, "Mom, I feel like you're bossing me around," which really made me pause. I can certainly get impatient sometimes. I am not perfect, but I really wasn't being impatient. I wasn't nagging. It was the same as most other nights, which is why it kind of stopped me in my tracks. Why was this night so different? It wasn't until I heard two moms and psychologists talking about our kids' emotional piggy banks that it really clicked. So on today's episode, I'm going to share that insight with you and how that piggy bank can directly impact your little one's bedtime and sleep. Hey there, I'm Lauren Engler, your fellow mom friend and pediatric sleep consultant of Via Graces. This is a place where you'll learn all the sleep tips and tricks so you feel equipped to navigate the ups and downs of your little one's sleep. You'll also get an inside look at our family life as I share the real joys and tougher moments of parenting. So whether you're nap trapped, driving to daycare pickup, or you're enjoying a solo evening walk, my goal is for this podcast to be another reminder that when it comes to most things in parenting, all it takes is a plan and a whole lot of grace. I'm so glad you're here. Like I mentioned, my daughter said, "Mom, I feel like you're bossing me around." It totally caught me off guard, but we just kept moving through the routine. I tucked her in, said goodnight, all was well. But that comment just kind of stuck with me. A few weeks later, I was at a conference with a bunch of other sleep consultants, and we had a morning of training dedicated solely to toddlers. Doctors Jenna and Shauna from Helping Families Thrive led the workshop, and it was so helpful, both professionally and personally, which, side note, if you've not heard of Helping Families Thrive, I'll include their information in the show notes, but they are amazing and a wealth of knowledge. You'll learn a ton just from their Instagram account alone, but also from their courses and other resources, so definitely check them out. But at one point, they were sharing this emotional piggy bank analogy, and it really brought Avery's bossy comment to mind again, and it all clicked. So here's the analogy. Picture our kids like little piggy banks. All day long, in the interactions they're having with us and with others, they're either getting coins added to their little piggy banks or subtracted. Compliments from their teacher, more coins. Hit by their sister, coins taken out. Hide and seek with dad, coins added. I don't know if you've read the picture book, How Full Is Your Bucket, but it always comes to mind here. Now, obviously, the hope is that we're regularly filling our kiddos' piggy banks. But there are times when we will just subtract. They have to clean up their toys, even if they don't like cleaning. We are going to floss, even if they don't want to. We are going to turn the TV off after one show, even if they want two shows. That's parenting. So the goal here is not to tiptoe around, never say no, only fill, fill, fill. That's not real life. But the goal is to pay attention to their little banks. If they're nice and full and we have to subtract a bit, no problem. If they're running dry and we're subtracting, yikes, we're going to see some behaviors come out that impact us all. And while I don't remember what our day looked like when Avery said I was bossing her around, I bet you it was filled with lots of do this, do this, do this, or at least the hour or two before bedtime was, and maybe not as much let's just be. So by the time I reminded her to toss her clothes in the laundry basket and get her jammies on, it felt bossy. Her little emotional piggy bank was probably running a bit low, and I was continuing to subtract from it. We weren't in the danger zone. Bedtime didn't become a battle, but the little light saying that the gas tank is running low was definitely coming on. Another connection I made was with my 4-year-old again. My girls are home with me every day, but on Thursday mornings, we go to a homeschool co-op, and on Sundays, we're at church. And I was finding that quiet time on Thursdays and Sundays were a struggle for Avery. And when she pushes back, we push back, and then we're all frustrated, and it's not helpful for anyone. But then I thought of that little piggy bank. My girls love co-op. They love seeing their friends and doing new projects, learning new things. But they have to sit and listen to the teacher. They have to raise their hand to talk. They walk in a line quietly to the next classroom. They're not supposed to run around the church basement. All good routine stuff when you're operating in a group of people. And again, good things. But that also means when we get home and move right into quiet time, something that my introverted oldest loves and craves, but a time that can be more of a struggle for my extroverted 4-year-old, quiet time is that much harder for her. That piggy bank has been both filled but also subtracted from all morning, and having to now play by herself is another dip. Same thing with church on Sundays. Avery's either in childcare with her friends, playing and doing a lesson, or doing quiet activities in the service with us. But again, there's structure and she has more limits than just free play at home, and we're not getting that quality time together. When I realized her tough quiet times were Thursdays and Sundays and connected it to this piggy bank analogy, it made all the difference. Now when we come home, we really intentionally connect with Avery, especially before quiet time, because we still need our quiet time. The little one's napping. So for us, it's not just a matter of skipping it all together. And if you listened to the episode all about quiet time a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that sometimes the girls do quiet time together. Well, they get to do quiet time together on Thursdays and Sundays, which has been the trick to help refill our sweet girl's little piggy bank while keeping our usual routines in place. Picture a five-year-old who has been at school all day long. School is great, but it's also really tiring for kids. There's a lot of structure, which again, former teacher here, it's good. But think about their little piggy bank. If reading was hard today, or their math project has a tear in it, or it took forever for the class to line up for recess and the teacher was getting frustrated, that keeps dipping. So when that five-year-old comes home from school and they're told right away to wash their hands, put their lunchbox away, and do their homework, you're probably going to get a lot of pushback. A lot more pushback than if you were at the playground together all morning, then come home and have them wash their hands, put their lunchbox away, and do their homework. But if they come home and you have a snack together, hang out, maybe listen to some music together, sing silly songs, read some picture books, shoot some hoops, and then do homework, think about the difference it could make. Just the other day, one of our kiddos was clearly having a tough afternoon and every little thing was setting her off. And I was kind of getting annoyed with it, to be honest. She was coming to me with another something that went wrong. And I kind of paused for a second, put on my little piggy bank analogy hat, and I decided to get silly. And I said I needed the biggest cuddle of her life. Then I asked her if she needed 100 or 200 smooches. Then I moved her arms and legs and did silly dance moves. Then her sister was watching and said, "Do that to me." And we were all laughing and being silly. Then she said again what had bothered her. She certainly hadn't forgotten, but the lightness was felt tenfold. We then read a few books and just switched up what we were doing to try to break that woe is me cycle, and it worked. She just needed some extra coins in that piggy bank to come back to midline. So now let's think about bedtime. Our kids have to go to bed, and it's not up to them when they go to bed. That's our job. And even if they don't want to brush their teeth, it's not a choice. We don't want cavities. They can choose which toothpaste they want, what jammies they want to wear, and what books to read. And for some kiddos, that choice is piggy bank filling. But for some kiddos, especially when they're already depleted, that choice could actually drain them more. So let's think about a kiddo whose piggy bank is already pretty low or even empty. Now we're telling them it's time to bed. They have to do this, this, and this to get ready for bed. Now lay down and good night. We're probably going to get a fight. And as parents, our patience is already lower by the end of the day because we're just tired, so it might not look so pretty on either side. Now think about a kiddo whose little piggy bank is nice and full. Time to go upstairs. Sure. Potty pull up jammies. No problem. Good night. I love you. That routine, that do this next, won't feel like an order. Now, don't hear me say that the only reason your little one is having bedtime challenges is because their piggy bank is depleted. It's not that simple, but it does make a difference. And when getting upstairs is already a struggle and the routine is already a struggle, why would the actual bedtime, good night, I'm trying to walk away part not be a struggle? So what I am saying with all of this is to try to be mindful of your little one. How full is their little piggy bank? Then be intentional with what you do with that information. When we work with older kiddos especially, we literally write one-on-one time into our sleep plans. Even just 10 minutes can make a huge difference. Obviously, something every day is ideal, but just do it as often as you can. And when I say one-on-one time, I'm talking no phones, no laundry, no distraction, just you and your little one. I'm a stay-at-home mom plus work-from-home mom, so I'm with my girls all the time. But how often am I with them, but also loading the dishwasher? With them and folding laundry? With them, but making sure the baby doesn't eat rocks? Super thankful I'm with them, but it's certainly not always quality time. And with three kiddos running around, one-on-one time is not so natural. When I walk to the mailbox, which is maybe 20 yards from our townhouse, our four-year-old generally comes with me. And that four-minute walk with mom feels so special to her. She's the one who will opt to go to the grocery store with you or go on that walk because it's time she gets with just mom or dad. And what's interesting with all of this is you may notice I'm talking about our four-year-old a lot more than the other two. Isla is a bit too young for this to all click quite yet, though undistracted time with her is certainly important too. But our six-year-old Olivia is not only an introvert, so her piggy bank fills very differently, but she goes to bed about 30 minutes later than her younger sisters. So every night she's getting that one-on-one time or sometimes even two-on-one time with Jason and me. She knows that time is there. She has it every night. We play some sort of board game or do some sort of activity of her choice. Then we read a chapter book together. Whereas Avery, our middle child, redheaded extrovert, doesn't have that predictable time built in each day. So we have to really make a conscious effort and choice to make it happen. And no, the bedtime routine does not count as one-on-one time because they're not in charge of their bedtime routine or the steps of their routine. I'm talking one-on-one playtime and kid choice, though it could certainly be the last thing you do before brushing teeth and getting jammies on, kind of kicking off the routine per se. Or for some families, they make this one-on-one time happen while one parent's prepping dinner or the other parent's cleaning dinner up. And if you think about it, at bedtime, the end result is essentially separation. Your little one goes to bed and you go to bed. And again, that's good. But if there's not been a lot of connection during the day or that quality one-on-one time, that separation could be harder. And thinking about attention-seeking behaviors, they often come out when kids are seeking attention, maybe because they're not getting attention otherwise, positive or negative, and they know that acting out will get them some kind of attention or keep mom or dad around longer. Again, not pointing fingers to say the lack of one-on-one time is the cause for all bedtime battles. I'm just stressing how helpful that one-on-one time can be in general and specifically for bedtime. So again, this one-on-one time has been in our big kid sleep plans from the start. But at the conference, Helping Families Thrive expanded on that one-on-one time a bit more in a really helpful way. They talked about giving that one-on-one time a name. Maybe that's as simple as special time. But giving it a name helps your child see what's going on, know when it's going to happen, and look forward to it. They also encouraged us to be really, really focused on the child and their piggy bank. Don't just let them choose what they want to do, but how they want to do it. When they're playing Candyland with their sister or friends, they need to follow the Candyland rules. But during special time with you, if they want to play some crazy, nonsensical way, go for it. Even instilling game rules can be a piggy bank dipper. They also recommended keeping your questions and suggestions to a minimum, even non-existent. When you're building a magnet tower, don't ask them what shape that piece is. Don't ask them why they put the Legos together this way. If they crumple up their drawing and start over, let it be. If you're having some homeschool preschool time, yes, ask the shape. If they crumple up their drawing and you're just trying to get a card in the mail for grandma's birthday, maybe we can talk about perfectionism and how she won't care if you perfectly stayed in the lines or not. None of those questions or comments are bad, but they all require something of our kids. And the goal of this special one-on-one time is not teaching, rule following, or self-control. The goal is fill that piggy bank so that when you say, all right, time for bed, go potty and get your jammies on. I'll meet you upstairs. No problem. That bank is so full that those directions don't make them think twice. Now, like I said before, what I am not saying is that your child has a hard time sleeping because you're not having one-on-one time with them. What I'm also not saying is that by having set one-on-one time every day, those bedtime battles will be a thing of the past. What I am saying, though, is that one-on-one time with your children is powerful. It makes a huge difference with behavior across the board, including their sleep. So give it a try. And if you're still left stuck, you've got the whole one-on-one time thing down, but the bedtime routine is still a headache, and they still get out of bed all night long no matter what you say or do, don't worry, we've got you. And our resources and services will meet you right where you are. So I'm actually going to tell you about three of them. First is our bedtime routine and boundary cards. These free printables might be the structure you need to help make bedtime happen. Next is Big Kid Sleep from A to Z. Maybe you're not looking for one-on-one help, but you want a better understanding of your little one's sleep and their sleep needs and what changes could be made so you feel confident moving forward with a DIY plan. This online class would be perfect for you. Or finally, our one-on-one sleep plans. Maybe you've tried all the things and you're exhausted and so frustrated and just need guidance. Or maybe you know what to do, but want that accountability as you do so. You want to be able to ask questions as they come up so you feel confident that this will finally work. That's what we do. I'll link all of those options in the show notes below so you can move forward with what is best for your child and family. Per usual, thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so already, but you've been helped by this podcast, make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform so you don't miss an episode. And while you're there, I'd also love to ask that you please take a moment to rate and review our podcast. It is so helpful to keep getting it into the ears of other parents who could use the same education, encouragement, and just real life conversations that we have here. Thank you so much.